just trying to...
This evening, Ephesians chapter 2. So good to be with you this evening. I'm so glad to have the opportunity to speak to you this evening about God's grace. It's a topic I love. It's a topic that's changed my life. And I hope this evening, as we go into God's Word together, we open our hearts, we open our minds, we open our souls, we open our Bibles, and we allow God's Word to change us. On a personal note, Jessica and I have truly enjoyed getting to know you over these last about 2-3 months. We'll be here for about 4 years with you, and we truly hope to deepen our fellowship and our knowledge and our relationships as we're here for the service of God and do all things for His glory. But I appreciate the elders for giving me this opportunity, and I appreciate each and every one of you so much. Many of you I've met, most of you I hope to have met, but if we've not met, I hope we'll at least be able to get to know one another a little bit better over the next few years. If you have any questions about anything I say this evening, please feel free to ask me. I'll try to be at the back. If you have any questions about any of the passages, any questions about any of the thoughts I bring up, or would just like to study this in more depth, I would love to. Just please let me know and we can sit down and open God's Word together in more depth. So, it's already been said this evening, we're talking about grace. Grace. Now, grace, of course, I think we would all agree is an important topic for a Christian. It's the very essence of Christianity in many ways. But let me tell you what I knew about grace until I was about 18, 19 years old. I was saved by grace. Grace was unmerited favor. It was getting something I don't deserve. That's about it. That's about it. I knew it was a very important topic, and I knew it came up all the time in the New Testament. Yeah, what does grace mean? What is grace? How is grace enacted? How do we get grace? What is it? How does the New Testament teach grace? Now, if we wanted to, we could spend months and months and months and months and months and never exhaust this topic. So, this evening what we're going to do together is we're going to try to answer this question. Our objective this evening is to understand the relationship between grace and faith as they pertain to salvation. So again, our objective this evening, it's not to do an exhaustive study of grace, but we're going to try to understand the relationship between grace and faith as they pertain to salvation. So here's how we're going to do it. We're first going to go into the text of Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 10. We're going to do a quick overview of faith. We're going to go into a little bit more depth with grace. And then we're finally going to try to see how do these two topics come together to one. How do they relate to one another? So again, open your Bibles, open your hearts, and let's begin in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised up with Him and seated with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable richness of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before Him that we should walk in them. What a beautiful text that is. What a beautiful text that is. But as we look at this text, we have to understand the context. As the old preacher said, a text without a context is a pretext. So the basic theme of the book of Ephesians is all about being in Christ. When you try to understand the overarching message of the book of Ephesians, it's all about being in Christ. Chapter 1, for example, talks about blessings in Christ. Chapter 2, which we're reading about here, is about being alive in Christ. Continuing it, chapter 3 would be about purpose in Christ. 4, righteousness in Christ. You could go on with 5 and 6. But the overall message that we're talking about here is being alive in Christ. So there's two overall sections. First, in verses 1 through 3, Paul talks about being dead in sin.
So let's read it again. Verses 1 through 3. Notice the imagery here that he gives of being dead in sin. Verse 1. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. What a joyful life that is. But I'm afraid one reason in my life I did not truly appreciate God's grace was I did not see the need for it. I did not see the need for it. But when I read these three verses, that was me. That was Ryan Cummings before June 6, 2007. That was me. I was dead in sin. I followed the prince of the power of the air, Satan. I walked in the ways of this world, or the ways of this earth. I was disobedient. I was a child of wrath. That was me. But notice these two beautiful words in verse 4. But God. But God. Being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. By grace you've been saved. Now for the rest of our time together, we're going to focus on verse 8. Verse 8. For by grace you've been saved through faith. What does that mean? For by grace you have been saved through faith. Now, obviously, there the salvation that he's talking about is salvation from verses 1 through 3. Salvation from being dead in sin. Salvation from being of the earth. Salvation from being disobedient. God saved us from these things. How did he do it? For by grace, you have been saved through faith. How do these work together? How does grace and faith work together to save us from salvation? Out of all the things God could have chosen to save us from sin, He chose grace and He chose faith. Why? Let's start with faith. Let's start with faith. So as we examine faith, there's no question we are saved through faith. Now we're going to do a little who, what, where, when, why, and how. Let's examine the who, what, where, when, why, and how of faith. We're going to first focus on the what. What is faith? Hebrews 11 and verse 1. A verse I'm sure many could quote. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Oh, beautiful. What's faith? If I could define faith in one word, faith is trust. It's trust. Whenever we talk about faith, we're talking about trust in Jesus, trust in God, trust in the Holy Spirit. We understand trust. One of the reasons I know God gave us family and friends is so that we understand what faith is. Without faith, there's no such thing as a relationship. Without trust, there's no such thing as a family. Trust forms the very core of every relationship we have, and this includes with God. So what is faith? It's trust. It's trust. Who? Who do we have to have faith in? Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Again, remember with me, this is the text we're going to, Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. So essentially what he's saying there is, for by grace you've been saved through trust. Well, then that brings up the question, trust in whom? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. And how from childhood you've been acquainted with the writings, the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Who do we have to trust? Not Ryan. Not self. We have to trust Christ Jesus. We have to trust Christ Jesus. Out of all the things in this earth, God chose trust in Christ Jesus as man's part in salvation. We have to trust the Jesus of the pages of the New Testament. We have to trust Christ, the Son of God. We have to trust Jesus who came down to this earth and He lived the life and died and was raised for us. That's the Jesus we have to trust. So now let's get to the how. Let's get to the how. This is where it gets a little bit stickier, I think. I think most here at least would agree that yes, faith is trust. And yes, I have to trust in Jesus Christ to be saved. But how do I enact that faith? How do I enact faith? For by grace you have been saved through faith. It tells us faith's required, but that verse nowhere tells us how to enact that faith. Go with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. So while you're turning there, let's answer implicitly the other questions. Who? We have to trust in Christ Jesus. What is faith? It's trust. Trust in Christ Jesus. Where? When? Anytime. Anytime and anywhere, as even was seen this morning. Anytime and anywhere that faith can be enacted. Then how? How do we enact that faith? Colossians 2 verse 11. Colossians 2 and verse 11. In Him, that is Christ Jesus, you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised Him from the dead. How do we enact faith? It's through baptism. Baptism is the single silliest thing I've ever heard of. It's silly whenever you stop to think about it. On June 6, 2007, I went underwater, dead in my sins, and I came up a Christian. Out of all the things in this earth, why did God choose me going down in water and coming out? That's how I show my faith. Really? I don't understand. But you know what trust is? Trust is, it doesn't make sense to me, but I trust God. I trust God, and I know that for some reason, He has chosen baptism for me as His child, to wash away my sins. But notice what happened through faith. Verse 12. Let's read it again. Having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised Him from the dead. How were we baptized? We were baptized through faith. Through faith. Whenever I trusted God, when I trusted His Son, and I read the pages of the New Testament, and I saw that it was necessary for me to be baptized, I didn't understand it. The whole rationale, the whole reason, all the reasons God chose that, I still don't understand why. But you know what I did? I trusted God more than I trusted my own logic, and I was baptized. I was baptized. So what happens with faith? Whenever I trust Jesus, I do what Jesus tells me. Jesus tells me, Ryan, be baptized by faith, by trusting Him, I'm baptized. We cannot separate baptism from faith. If we try to take baptism and separate it from faith, it's no different than taking a bath or going swimming. By faith, I went down in the water, believing that Jesus would save me, believing that God would take away my sins, and He brought me up a new creature. Through faith, I was baptized. Through faith, I believed. Through faith, I believed that He was the Son of God and the only way to heaven. Through faith, I repented of my sins. Through faith, I confessed His holy name. Through faith, I was baptized. How did I do all of those things? I didn't come up with a list. It wasn't by trusting in myself. It wasn't by trusting in my own logic. It was by trusting in Jesus Christ. It's by trusting in Jesus Christ. For by grace you've been saved through faith. Ephesians 2:8. Does that exclude baptism? Does that exclude repentance? Oh no. Oh no, that's the starting point. That's right. Oh no. That's the starting point. Whenever I trust in God, I'll do what He tells me. Whenever I trust in Him, then I'll repent. Then I'll confess His name. Then I'll be baptized. Then I'll live faithfully for Him. Why do I do these things? Because I trust Jesus Christ more than I trust myself. And that's what God requires from us in faith. Now, we could go in a whole lot more depth than I would love to, but I'm sure y'all don't want to stay here till 11 o'clock at night. So let's move on to grace. Let's move on to grace. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you've been saved through faith. For by grace you've been saved through faith. Turn with me back to Ephesians 2. I want to read verse 8 one more time. Verse 8 in its entirety. So in review so far, the objective of what we're trying to do at the end of this sermon is we're trying to understand the relationship between grace and faith. So far, we've understood that faith is trust. It's trusting Jesus Christ. It's trusting that whatever He tells me to do, I'll do. It's trusting that even if He tells me to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, I'll trust Him enough to do it. That's faith. Now, what's grace? What's grace? Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you've been saved through faith.
And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. So now let's pose this question. What is grace? It is the gift of God. It is the gift of God. To provide just a very simple definition for our purposes this evening, grace is a gift. Grace is a gift. Let's go to Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. I want us to notice here a distinction that's made between the wages of sin and grace. So let's read this text. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. One more time. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What does sin deserve? The wages of sin is death. Now, all of us who work, we understand what a wage is. We understand what a wage is. Steve, this coming week, you go to work and you put in all your hours, but then at the end of the week, they tell you, you know what? We're just not going to pay you this week. We're just not going to pay you. Oh, okay, great. I'd love to work for you for the next years. No, we're saying the concept of a wage. I deserved it. I've given you my 40-plus hours this week. I've given you my time. I've given you my energy. I've earned this paycheck, and you better not keep it from me. I've earned this paycheck. That's a wage. What does sin deserve? What does it earn? Sin, in the same way that work deserves a paycheck, sin deserves death. It deserves death. Just as I work and I get my paycheck at, what is it, the 27th of every month. I get my wage. What at the end of my life, if I'm still lost in sin, what's going to happen to me? What have I deserved? What have I earned? I've earned death. That's what I've earned. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Death is earned. Death is deserved. Death is the necessary consequence of sin. But grace is a gift. Grace is a gift. Grace means, Ryan, you can't deserve it. Ryan, you did not work for it. Ryan, you do not earn this gift that I've given to you. It's a gift. It's a gift. We all understand what gifts are. My favorite time of the year is Christmas. It still is, always has been. But December 25th, what do I know is going to be under the Christmas tree? There's going to be some gifts there. I've not earned them. I've not deserved them. I've not put in hours and hours of work to deserve them. They're gifts. My parents love me and they just want to give them to me. Jessica loves me and she wants to give them to me. I love her. I want to give them to her. Where do gifts come from? Gifts don't come from earning something. Gifts don't come from deserving something. Gifts come out of love. So now let's pose this question I put up here. If salvation is a gift, then why does God require faith from man? This is a question I have been up many, many, many nights trying to solve. If salvation is a gift, if salvation is grace, then why does God require faith from man? Let me pose this example. I have in this metaphorical envelope a $10,000 check that I'm going to give to Steve Newton. Yeah, buddy. Now, I tell Steve, Steve, I love you, and Steve, I just want to give you this. But, for the next 2 years, I need 20 hours of chore work done at my house, and then you'll get the $10,000. Oh, that's a wonderful gift. No, that's a pitiful gift. That's not a gift at all. He's earned it. Probably more than $10,000 if I'm requiring 20 hours a week for the next 2 years. That's not a gift. And I'm afraid that's how I viewed salvation for too long in my life. I viewed salvation as, Ryan, I'm giving you salvation. It's a gift I'm giving to you. But you got to earn it. You got to believe. You got to repent. You got to confess. You got to be baptized. You got to earn it. And then after that, it doesn't end. Then you have to live your whole life faithful to me. And on the day of eternity, I'll look at you and say, Ryan, look at all the things you've done. You earn it. You've earned this crown of righteousness I'm giving to you. Is that how I view salvation for too long in my life? I did. And I would venture to say many here do. It's a struggle and it is Satan's device to undermine God's grace. It is Satan's device to undermine God's grace to make us think that any of the things that by trust we do are earning us a salvation. So is that how we view it? Steve, I give you the check for $10,000.
But here's all these things you got to do. Ryan, I'm giving to you salvation. I'm giving you my grace. But here's this list of things you have to do. Is that how we view salvation? Now let's pose the question. If that's not how salvation works, then how do grace and faith work together? How do grace and faith relate? Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. So again, here's our question. If salvation is a gift, then why does God require faith from man? Romans 5 and verse 1. Romans 5 verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Let's read it one more time. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we've obtained access by faith into the grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the glory of God. If salvation is a gift, then why does God require faith from man? Faith does not earn us grace. Faith gives us access to grace. Let me read it one more time. Faith does not earn us grace. Faith gives us access to grace. Let me use my envelope example again. Steve, I love you, and I just want to give you $1,000. After services, I'm leaving it right here. Just come up and get it after services, and you can have $10,000. Steve gets up. He comes up 1, 2, 3 stairs, walks over, picks it up, goes down 3 stairs, walks out the door, and goes buys him a hamburger or something. Has Steve earned this? Would any of us here honestly say that by walking up 3 steps, taking one, he's taller than I am, so let's say 2 steps over to the podium and getting the envelope, he's earned it? Oh no, he's accessed it. Let me use another example. Going back to Christmas. Christmas morning, my sister and I would still be asleep in the back of the house. My parents would come back and they'd wake us up and we'd just get up so excited. But we'd get up out of bed, we'd walk down the hallway and we'd go to the Christmas tree. Why did I go to the Christmas tree? I knew that's where the presents were. I knew that's where the presents were. If I wanted those presents, I was going to the Christmas tree. I was going to the Christmas tree. When I went, got up out of bed, walked down the hall, went to the Christmas tree. Me walking down the hall, did that earn me those presents? No, it gave me access to those presents. It gave me access to those presents. How ridiculous would it be for me to say, you know what? Y'all should have seen me walk down that hallway. I mean, it just, my steps were as elegant and as graceful as anything you've ever seen. And I deserve those presents based on how I walk. I walk like an elephant, Jessica would tell you. I don't deserve it based on that walk. But what did I do? My parents loved me. They put those presents under the Christmas tree, and I accessed those presents. What does God require of us by faith? Ryan, I have put salvation for you in Jesus Christ. I have given you my grace in the blood of my Son. I've given you salvation in the cross. I've given you all that you need in grace within Jesus. What do you have to do? When you trust me, you're not going to earn it. When you trust me, you're not going to deserve it. When you're baptized, it's not going to be the wage you're going to get. Ryan, you're going to access it. You're going to access it. When I trusted in Jesus Christ on June 6, 2007, and I believed, repented, confessed, and was baptized in the name of Jesus for the repentance of sins, did doing those things earn me grace? Did doing those things earn me salvation? Oh, God forbid it. Doing those things gave me access to that salvation. What if Steve, the envelope's right here. I'll leave it right here for Steve. After services, he gets up and he just leaves. Has he accessed it? Oh no. He's not accessed it. He didn't earn it. He could have accessed it. It was that simple. He didn't earn it. He didn't deserve it. All he had to do was access it. Yet still he turned it away. Yet still he turned it away. Now I want to look at this word access in a little bit more depth. First of all, when we look and say it another way, grace is the substance of salvation. Faith is the channel to salvation. So let me explain this a little bit. Grace is the substance of salvation. Faith is the channel to salvation. My love for Steve would be the substance of this gift. That's why Steve would get this, because I love him and I just want to give him this $10,000. Yet how did he access it? He accessed it by walking up here, using his hand and picking it up. Grace is the substance of salvation. Faith is the channel to salvation. Now, let's examine this word access. This word access. The Greek word here is, I don't know Greekikos. It's a joke. But whenever you look at the definition of the term, it actually means the right or opportunity to address someone implying higher status of the person addressed. So again, this term access used in Romans 5:2 means the right or opportunity to address someone implying higher status of the person addressed. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18. Here we read, for through him, that is Jesus, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. 3:11. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. What has access done? It's taken me, someone of a lower status, and it's given me access to someone of higher status, the Father. If we go back and we think of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, we were dead in trespasses, we were dead in our sins, we were children of wrath, we're way down here. We're way down here below the line of godliness, we're below the glory of God, we're below salvation, we're way down here. We're way down here. Whenever I access salvation through faith in Jesus, whenever I access salvation through baptism, what does happens to me? I don't work my way up the ladder and then go to the presence of God. Jesus Christ reaches down. He grabs me out of my sins and he presents me over to the Father. Isn't that cold chilling? To know that Jesus Christ himself has given me access to the Father. His grace is so powerful. He took Ryan Cummings, sinner, and he presented me over to the Father. He gave me access to the Father. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Taking this a step further, to those of us who are already Christians, Alan hears through the grapevine that Steve got. Let's Annie a little bit. I decided to give Steve $1 million. And Alan just hears through the grapevine that, you know, Steve's a millionaire now. Steve's a millionaire now. Alan goes up to Steve and he says, Steve, how did you get $1 million? Alan, here's how. I walked up 3 stairs. I came over to the podium and picked it up, and I walked down. What? As in the words of Alan, he'd probably think he's an idiot. No, I mean, that's not how salvation works. You got $1 million by walking up 3 stairs. Yet Christians, is that how we view our salvation? The proper answer would be, Alan, honestly, I don't know. I mean, Ryan just told me he loved me and he wanted to give me $1 million. That's how I got it. Ryan Cummings, how were you saved? God loved me and he gave me access to the Father by faith. His grace was so powerful it saved even me. His love was so great it reached me. His grace was so wonderful that by faith I accessed it and he presented me over to the Father. That's how I was saved. Going back to the example with Christmas. Imagine a child going into the Christmas tree on Christmas morning, starting to just tear through the presents, gets halfway into the second presents and starts crying. Says, Mommy, Daddy, I've not earned these presents. I've not done enough for you this year. I've not worked hard enough for these. I haven't deserved these presents. I can't take them. I can't take them. What's the parent going to say? Well, you're right. You didn't earn them. No. What's the parent going to say? The parent's going to say, you're right, you didn't. But I love you and I want you to have these presents. I love you and I want you to have them. Ryan, why were you saved? How were you saved? Well, you see, I was so great. I was so coordinated. I bent backward underwater. I bent my back backward underwater, and Todd Chandler took his hand, and he immersed me underwater. That's how I was. That's as ridiculous as Steve saying he walked up 3 stairs to get $1 million. Even more infinitely ridiculous. But when I view my salvation, I recognize I've not earned it. I've not deserved it. But God loves me. And Christians, I have lived years of my life where I lay up night after night after night wondering why God required me to be saved. Not why He wanted to save me, but why He wanted required me to be saved. You want to know why? Because I was like that child on Christmas morning. God, I cannot do enough to get to heaven. God, I cannot do enough works to get to heaven. God, why did you make me have these presents? God, why did you give me this gift? God, I cannot do enough to get to heaven. What's God going to then say to me on the day of judgment? He's not going to say, well, Ryan, you're right, you can't deserve it, whatever. The same God who gave me His grace, the same God who gave me the gift of salvation, the same God who gave me grace to me, a low sinner, who never would deserve it, He's going to say to me, Ryan, you know what? You can never do enough to earn it. You can never do enough to deserve it. It'll never be your wage. Salvation will never be your wage in this life, but I love you and here's my gift. And what do I require from you? Just trust me and love me. Trust me and love me. What would I want to do for my parents the days after Christmas? It would be pretty habitual. My sister and I wouldn't fight that much. My smart mouth would just go away for a few days. I was really grateful I got all this stuff. Yet then, about January 2nd rolls around, school comes back, and we're back to where we were. How do I live my life for God? Titus 2, I believe it's verse 11, says that the 10 through 11 says, the grace of God has now appeared, training us. Grace trains us. When my parents gave us those gifts, it trained me to be a good little boy for a little while. It trained me to be nice to my sister. I was thankful to them, I was grateful to them, and I lived with a heart of thanksgiving. How do we live for our God? Christians, how do we live for our God? Option one. We live our lives every day saying, God, I can never do enough. God, I can't do enough works. I can't good enough. I can't do enough. Or option two, God, I didn't deserve this. God, by faith, all I did was I accessed it. I just walked up three stairs and you gave it to me. And God, I thank you and I will live for you. That's the life of a Christian. That's the life of a Christian. So let's answer our question. How do grace and faith relate? Trust in Christ gives humanity access to God's gift of salvation. Trust in Christ gives humanity not a wage. It doesn't give us deserving. It doesn't earn us. But trust in Christ gives humanity access to God's gift of salvation. What a great God we serve. Get your songbooks out, please. Have you accessed the grace of God this evening? I was 17 years old before I was baptized. I was 17. And one of the reasons I was waiting so long to be baptized was I lived with this constant thought that I will never deserve it. God, look how many sins I struggle with. Look how many temptations I have. Look how little good I do in my life. Look how little good I do compared to the amount of bad that I do. God, I just can't be baptized. I cannot render myself over to faith in you. I just can't be good enough. But I finally realized that very thought was the reason I need to be baptized. I wasn't good enough. As Ephesians 2 verses 1 through 3 says, I was dead in my trespasses. I was dead in my sins. I was dead in all the things that Satan had thrown against me. But because of my death, because of my spiritual death, I knew I could not be good enough to get God's salvation. I couldn't be good enough to earn it. I couldn't be good enough to deserve it. But God had given me His Son, and all I had to do was render myself in faith over to Jesus Christ.
and I would access it. Have you accessed the holy blood of Jesus? Have you accessed His grace? If you have any need, please come forward now while we stand and while we sing.